Well, this morning, I did have a message. I did prepare a nice message for Reformation Sunday, which I'm not going to give to you here, now, but instead, I posted it this morning on the Realm. So if you'd like to hear what I was going to say for Reformation Sunday, you go to the Realm and you can read it for yourself. You can even comment on it, if you'd like, on the Realm. Instead, this morning, in light of everything else that we've been able to do, I don't want to neglect Reformation Sunday. It's a big deal. But instead of giving a whole message, I just want to say one thing and then kind of unpack it a little bit. And the one thing I want to say is this. The legacy of the Reformation proves, against the movement itself, the principles upon which it was based. Can we say that again? The legacy of the Reformation proves, against the movement itself, the principles upon which it was based. The legacy of the Reformation. Again, history books, many history books have been written about this reality. And there's some fascinating studies of what really the Reformation set in motion. There are those that actually would suggest that our own secular humanist society that we live in today here in America is a byproduct of the Reformation of the 15th, 16th century. That in breaking the dominant authority of the Roman Catholic Church over life in human society, by breaking that, it opened the way for authority to be rooted in places other than some sort of institution like the church over people's lives in any final sort of way, and has led to today where authority in our culture is rooted in ourselves. In our culture, I am the authority for myself. I mean, there are laws. I can be thrown in jail because I don't obey laws. So there is certainly governmental authority that everybody has to pay attention to. But real authority, life-guiding sort of authority, I think in our culture, tends to be rooted in ourselves. Nobody ought to be able to tell me who I should be or what I should do. It's a sin. They don't use that word, but it's a sin in our culture to suggest that anybody else should change. Or that anybody else isn't okay with whatever they're thinking and whatever they want to do, as long as they're not infringing on other people's rights along the same lines. So their authority, generally in our culture, is secular, apart from God, and it's rooted in individual people to a large extent. You decide for yourselves. And we're really encouraging that. I remember being in a Bible study, leading a Bible study when I was doing youth ministry years ago, and this kid who was in our high school group, we were sitting around a table, and I remember we were talking about, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but he basically said, "Well, I believe in myself." He was serious. "I believe in myself." And that was what his coaches had all said that he should think, how he should think, what his teachers had all said he should think, what the media had all told him he should think, what contemporary songs told him he should think. And you hear that a lot today. I mean, the best thing anybody can say in our culture. Watch when somebody wins a big award or conquers something or does something that people think is great. More often than not, somebody's going to stick a microphone and they're going to say, "Well, this is just so people know that you can, if you believe in yourself, if you believe in yourself, you can do anything. And nobody can tell you differently." I mean, it's that sort of rooting meaning in yourself, rooting authority in yourself. Well, a lot of people say that is a manifestation, a repercussion of, an unintended repercussion of the Protestant Reformation. When the authority of the church was broken. Now, it had to happen because the church had grown corrupt. It had become a power organization. And it had doctrines that were far from what the scripture said. So something had to be done. But the legacy of the Reformation resulted in a movement of power from God's people, the church, corrupt as it was, to people in general. Some would suggest that wasn't entirely a good move. Also, the legacy of the Reformation is, if you look at a tree of church history, it looks like an upside down tree. Trunk, smaller branches, or if you wanted to use, you know, like circulatory system of our bodies, it sort of starts with a couple arteries, and then before you know it, you get capillaries, and then tiny capillaries breaking off all the time. That churches breaking away from other churches has become a way of life for the church, has it not? Still today, if you don't like what's happening in this church, go somewhere else. That's what everybody else does. And if that place doesn't work for you, maybe you just start your own church. Because you can do it better, right? I mean, that is the spirit of churches today in America to a very large extent. And so this breaking off into more and more groups, splitting away, not being unified. Hey, the history of this church. We broke away from another church. Which is, if that's all you knew, if it's just the breaking away, that is sad. That's bad. People should remain unified. And I don't have time to go into that sort of thing, but we are in the midst of that too. That's the legacy of the Reformation. And it's not good. It's a far cry from what we read in the scriptures about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church, one holy Catholic apostolic church. That's what our confessions say. That's what the scriptures say. And that is not what has happened in the history of the church. Amen? That's the legacy of the Reformation. What's that all about? Well, so you have these reformers who want to reform the Roman Catholic Church, and they do so based on certain principles that really, I think, originally were intended to be correctives to false doctrines that were being practiced in the Roman Catholic Church of the day. Things like grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. Now, here's the interesting thing. I mean, pick one. Scripture alone. That was a statement against certain practices, really practices still to this day in the Roman Catholic Church, that would say that there are authorities that are on the same level as Scripture. Church tradition, the word of the Pope, these sorts of things are to be viewed with the same authoritative power as the words of Scripture. And the reformers came along and said, no way. Scripture alone. Like we heard from Martin Luther here today, if I'm not convinced by the words of Scripture and by reason that what they're saying is true, I'm not going to submit to it just because it's the church saying that. Scripture alone. So you have all these reformers early on who all agreed to that principle. Scripture alone. But if you read history from the get-go, they were fighting with each other tooth and nail, even as they agreed against the Catholic Church, about exactly what it was that Scripture said. You see? So the principle we all say yes to, still today. But we have a real difficult time getting together on exactly how that plays out. Okay? The legacy of the Reformation proves, against the movement itself, the principles upon which it was based. These wonderful principles, scriptural, true, a beautiful expression of biblical teaching and doctrine, they all agreed to, but they couldn't live them out. Not perfectly. Even the force of good principles like these were not enough for the reformers themselves in this Reformation we celebrate from 500 years ago. Even these in themselves were not enough to hold things together. And what you get is a church that ends up being divided, splitting up more and more and more still today. I mean, I'm sure you could tell stories from people you know in churches like ours where people split off. All of which, to me, and this is what I want to share with you, proves the principles, even in the fact that people couldn't keep them. Why? Grace alone. Grace alone. God's grace alone, not our apprehension of grace, not the way we formulate this truth of grace, not the theologies that we build around it. Through faith alone, all we bring to the salvation equation is empty hands saying, we receive what you give, Lord. Not our own good works. Christ alone. Christ plus nothing equals salvation. Good news, because church people historically can't do it for themselves. Duh. Scripture alone? Absolutely. Now let's talk about what Scripture actually says. And your interpretation and my interpretation may not be the same. So in our interpretations, is not our hope, is not our foundation. But in these other things alone. There's a wonderful line we sang in the first service, this great old Luther hymn, A Mighty Fortress. There's a line in, I think, verse 3 or 4. That word, meaning the word of God, Jesus himself, what he says, what he does, and who he is, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The word of God, the truth of God, the word that is Jesus Christ, that word above all earthly powers, powers like the Roman Catholic Church, powers like the Protestant Reformation, powers like the Presbyterian Church today or any other church denomination today, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, no thanks to them, abideth. Friends, that's what we're celebrating today. The word of God abideth. No thanks to the Roman Catholic Church. No thanks to the Protestant Reformation. No thanks to Covenant Presbyterian Church. No thanks to any earthly power. That word abideth. That's the principle that we affirm, and then we get to the last one, the most beautiful one of all. For the glory of God alone. You see, when church people with all the right information, with the Word of God, with wonderful theological doctrinal principles, can't make it work, what that tells us is, historically and in the present, no glory for us. But here's the deal. You're here. I'm here. The church, despite all of that history, despite all that mess up, that church is still here. That word, above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. All glory to God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the celebration that is happening all over the world today in remembrance of the Protestant Reformation. Lord, we thank you for that necessary work in history that unfolded over a long period, came to a culmination there at the beginning of the 16th century, continues today. Lord, we lament the sad realities that have come because of the Reformation, a church that is divided and continues to split again and again and again. An authority that has moved further away from you, even as it moved as it must, away from corrupt religious powers. But Lord, an authority that has moved away from you, in fact, an authority that we know in our culture to be completely divorced from you. A really bad idea. We lament those negative realities. But Lord, we celebrate that in the midst of all that, throughout history, church history, our own personal histories, your word, Jesus, has abided. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you and praise you for your power. and your grace and your mercy and your love. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.